Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Hello, everybody. My name is Min, and I'm your host from NDIS Property Australia, and you're listening to the SDA Housing Podcast, a show that explains, highlights, guides, and brings awareness about all things SDA in this ever-changing NDIS world. Today, we have a guest speaker from Melbourne. Melbourne, right, Abdi?
Yeah, Melbourne.
I'm glad I got that right. Abdi from Melbourne. Abdi, please introduce yourself as to who you are, what you do, what your background is, and where you're at with your investor journey as a NDIS SDA property investor.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, Min. First, I just want to thank you for having this podcast. I think I've learned a lot, and it's been very valuable to me. Just a bit about myself. I come from a government background, so I've been working in the APS, the Australian Public Service, for about 12 years, I think. So I started with ASIC. I worked at the ATO, and now I work for a department that looks after charities and not-for-profits. So I'm a manager there, and I work in delivery, service delivery, and you could probably say education. So we educate not-for-profits and charities on their obligations. That's a bit about my background.
Thanks for that little intro, Abdi. What got you into the SDA sector itself to begin with?
Good question, Min. A few reasons. So I work closely for my day-to-day job. I work with charities and not-for-profits. So I see what they do on the ground, and I'm a big advocate for not-for-profits and charities. So that's one side of it. And also my lived experience with the NDIS. I've got close family and friends that are on the NDIS, especially in my community. So I come from an East African background, where a lot of my parents migrated here from Africa. And I've got close family and friends that also have done the same. And I noticed that, you know, there's a big need for, you know, disability services, in particular accommodation. And I've got my friend and my investment partner. We sat down. To be honest, I'm not sure how I even came across it, but I think someone mentioned, you know, SDA and disability accommodation, and me and my friend, also my co-investor, we wanted to look into investment properties, and we came across SDA and disability accommodation. So that's where the journey started from.
When you started looking at SDA, was it hard for you to figure out the ins and outs, the pros and cons, and all the challenges at the very start?
Very, very much so. Very much so. There's a lot of sharks out there, and we've come across quite a few. So we engaged with a lot of real estate agents that claim to be experts in the SDA field, and you just have to be really careful. So I did a lot of research. All the stats went to the SDA demand data on the NDIS website. Yeah, so I did quite a few research. So this journey started December 2022. So it's been, you know, over a year, close to a year and a half now. So it's been a lot. And most of it was just research and trying to understand the sector.
Let me ask you again, when did you start looking into SDA, and when did you actually start building?
Okay. So we started, started looking into it probably about 18 months ago. And building has probably commenced since maybe 2-3 weeks ago.
Gotcha. So the sharks you mentioned out there who spoke to you when you came across, how did you figure out what was right and wrong or appropriate for your decision making process?
Good question. So not everyone's a shark. I don't want to brush everyone with the same brush. But some of the people that we were speaking to, for example, you talk about locations. So some of them would try and get you to get into locations that didn't seem logical. So, you know, they would suggest go, you know, somewhere country, rural Victoria, place out in Barnsdale or Tarogan, which I used to live in Tarogan for a bit. And it's a nice place. But, you know, thinking about someone that has a disability, someone, you know, that they need amenities. So they need services. And for us, it was always location. So yeah, location was key. So that's one of the things that rang the alarm bell when they're suggesting areas that, you know, that SDA might be needed there, but for us it was more about we need to find a location that, you know, the people that live in this accommodation need to have, you know, the right amenities, needs to be in areas where there is, you know, demand. And yeah, so that's something that we looked at. And then, you know, people suggesting going out, you know, places that are, you know, 50 kilometers, 60 kilometers from a major hospital or a major town, then, you know, that's when we said to ourselves, nah, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, gotcha. That makes sense. So in your criteria, what amenities did you want to see for your first purchase in SDA?
Yeah. So, you know, thinking about someone that has a disability, you know, what will they need? You know, they'll need, you know, close by to a hospital, shopping center, public transport's key, you know, close to, you know, train station, bus stop, also parks. People like to go for walks if they can, or, you know, fresh air. So, you know, close proximity to a park, or, yeah, so things like that is what we looked at.
Now, even though those criteria may be met, tick, 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 I think you'd also add some more layers of filtering for, as an investor, and that is population of an area as well.
Correct, yeah.
Because even if you may have a very small town of 10,000, you may have the hospital and all that kind of stuff nearby. But
that's true.
I think from an investment point of view, you want to have the abundance of participants in an area ensure that if there is turnover of participants for whatever reason, then you're okay as an investor point of view.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So where did you buy and what did you buy?
We bought a property in Dallas, which is probably about 18 kilometers out from 18 kilometers north of Melbourne. So not that far from Melbourne, the CBD. And it's quite populated. So it falls under the Hume catchment, which has quite a huge, good sized population within that. So you've got, you know, suburbs like Broadmeadows, Glenroy, Jacana, you know, Meadow Heights. So it's an established area.
And what about the actual house that's being built? What is it?
Ah, okay. Sorry. I should have. Yeah. So it's a high physical, three bedrooms. Each bedroom's got its own private ensuite. It's got an OOA room with its and a separate, you know, toilet bathroom.
What about the size of the block and the size of the house? What are the size in square
meters? Yeah, good question. So the block is probably about 580, 590 square meters, which is quite good, which just gives us, you know, some space at the back for a nice alfresco and, you know, a nice seating area. Hopefully we can put a nice garden there as well.
So Abdi, what is the size internally of the house?
Roughly, approximately about 240 meters.
Yep. So, mate, that's a pretty decent sized house. I mean, yeah, the average four bed, four bath around Australia is about 220, 230 to 221, yep. 225. The fact that it was 240 square meters being a four bed, four bath, two car house in Melbourne is a good sized house because I've seen most HPS houses are normally three bed, three bath with carer plus two participants normally. So, yeah, but this is a size house, yeah, which is good.
It's quite big, yeah. And we made it that way. So, you know, we went out and went to go see an SDA property out in the west, I think in Wyndham Vale. It was a three-bedroom, but not three bathrooms. So three bedrooms, two bathrooms, and the rooms were tiny, very small. And, you know, some of the rooms was just like, you know, we were baffled. We were like, how are you supposed to get a wheelchair in here? How are people moving around here? It was just insane.
Were you looking at a robust house maybe?
No, high physical.
Wow, geez. Okay.
Mm,
so. Yeah, you gotta be careful with those ones. You always got to have, you know, an assessor certify that the house is compliant, number one. Number two, use a bit of common sense when it comes to living space as well. So that's very important. But no, I commend you guys for actually finding a big block of land and a big design house as well. That's good. Good to hear. What about your provider? I mean, what's your provider status? What's your story there on the topic there?
So, yeah, interesting. We're still waiting for provider approval from the NDIS. But at the moment, we are engaging with other existing SDA providers that service, you know, that inner north of Melbourne. So yeah, we're at that stage now, and you know, we're speaking with the NDIS. We might also try and escalate it and speak to, you know, maybe our local member of parliament and get them to try and push it through, because it is, you know, we're hoping to finish this, you know, within the next, you know, 5 months, which is not a long time. So. Yeah, at that stage, we're at the moment trying to speak with the NDIS and get that pushed through. And then, you know, if that doesn't fall through, then we can speak to local just SDA providers within Melbourne.
So in the area of Dallas, have you looked around as to how many other builds are actually happening in the area as competitive stock against you?
We have somewhat. I guess that data is quite we've looked at pipeline data. I wouldn't say it's 100% accurate. There are builds, but a bit out of Dallas. So if you know, Craigieburn, up that way. There is quite a few, but I think that the difference that we have is location, is that it is an established area and it's close to all amenities. So, yeah, so I think that there are a few, but that they're out a bit more, because the closer you come in, I guess people, you know, it gets quite expensive. So there's quite a few out in the green estates.
Mm-hmm. Have you spoken to those local SEA providers in that area there to find out whether a furnished or partly furnished house is appropriate for their participants?
Yes, yes. We've spoken to a few and they've said that, yeah, this is, yeah, there is a demand. And they said that, you know, we should be able to get, you know, a few participants in that property. We might have to change up the, you know, the category. So it might not be all high physical, maybe one high physical, one fully accessible. And we're happy to look at that as well.
Cool. What about budget? Have you budgeted any amount of money for the furnitures?
No, to be honest, we have not. I'll be honest. That's not something that we've really looked at.
Have they recommended to you, for you to consider that at all?
They have. And it's something that we are looking at the moment, but it's not something that we've really discussed in detail.
Gotcha. What about long term? So you've applied to be an SDA provider, not a SIL provider.
No.
And why is that? Why did you get in the path of applying for a license?
I guess my partner and my friend is into building, so he's got quite knowledge in property management. So he, you know, we've looked at his skill sets and, you know, we've worked out that with our combined skills, we should be able to, you know, to look after the property ourselves.
And what about after you finish this first build? What's the plans after that?
After that, I guess we'll see how we go. And if it goes well and, you know, we think that we can provide a good service to our participants and, you know, and obviously we've got to look at funding as well. We are looking at trying to get a few more later on in the line, but it's not something that we've really considered. We just want to get this up and running and make sure that it's well and it's working well and the participants are happy before we consider other properties.
Okay. So my next question is, you've listened to how many podcast episodes have you listened of ours?
I think I've listened to every single one.
Wow. Oh my God. Congratulations, bro. Thank you very much.
I've listened to every single one.
What's your top three that you've liked to listen to?
I just listened to one about the insurance. That was very, very beneficial. That's something that's on our to-do list. That's something that I never knew, you know, and no one tells you. Like, if I didn't come across your podcast talking about insurance, then we probably would have just went with the standard, you know, home insurance, home and content insurance, and that will cost you big time in the long term. If anything was to happen, your investment's down the drain, basically.
Insurance costs us about $5,000, give or take.
Yeah.
It's between $4,000 and $6,000, yeah.
Yeah, so that's something that we're definitely accounting for. What's another episode? I like your episodes on, I'm not sure what you guys call it, but when you look at a certain particular area.
SDA Unlocked.
That's it, SDA Unlocked. I quite like that. I like my numbers a lot.
Did you like Debbie's one on Dandenong?
Yeah, so that one was quite good. And what's another one that I really enjoyed?
Parramatta. Parramatta.
Perth, yep, you've done quite a few suburbs. I was hoping you'd do, you know, Dallas.
we'll put Dallas on the map. Because I'll tell you why. There's a fair bit happening in Beveridge and Craigieburn.
Yeah.
So if Dallas is next door to them, is that right? Next door?
No, this is Beveridge and those areas, they're brand new estates. They're far out. So Dallas is probably right next to Broadmeadows.
So give me some more suburbs around Dallas so I can
Dallas, remember,
yeah.
Broadmeadows, Faulkner, Camberfield.
Okay. So is Dallas a big area or is it a small little suburb somewhere?
No, it's quite a big area. It's got the same postcode as Broadmeadows, so
okay.
I'm sure you've heard it.
I'll let Aaron know to let Debbie know. It's fine.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sorry, it's 15 Ks north of the CBD.
Okay.
And it's got a population of about 13,000.
Sure. Yeah, that's good. So what other podcast episodes have you listened that you enjoy?
I listened to the one with you had those two gentlemen that were talking about the, you know, the accessible products, so the toilets, the bathrooms, the kitchens. Can't remember the name of the
Hayfully.
That's it. So that's something that's on our list. So we're gonna.
So speaking of which, do you have any height adjustable products in your house, your building?
Absolutely. Yeah. So
which parts of the house?
The kitchen, the bath. That's definitely one. So the bench tops. You know, ensuring that, you know, the dishwasher is, you know, accessible to a person in a wheelchair.
So is that a stove accessible or this? What
both. Part? Yeah. We're looking at both. Yeah. And also we haven't fully decided on what the bathrooms are going to look like, but we're looking at those products that were discussed in the
Was there much of a price upgrade variation to the price?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not my co-investor is the one that really looks after the building products and how much things are going to cost. But I think there is, from what he's mentioned, it is going to go up a bit if we want those products. Which
I think investors should always budget for a 20 grand build price variation if you want to add those features to the house. Yeah,
So it's definitely we've definitely considered those type of products.
So when you got when you decided on your purchase, did you choose the block first and then choose a builder second, or it came to get together?
Block first, builder second.
And was it hard to find a builder that you feel comfortable with to engage?
Yes, I would say yep. Yeah, it was not easy. My co-investor is the one that, you know, he's into the building industry and he knows quite a few builders. So he was the one to, you know, go through different quotes, go through different builders, see what their portfolios are like, see what they've done in the past, and then go with them. So yeah, I think it's very important to find a builder that you can trust and someone that, you know, that's passionate just like you are. Like, it's not just, this is not your home. This is participants' home. This is, you know, for vulnerable people. They're people that need, you know, quality service, quality homes. Yeah, so it's quite important to find someone like that.
So the builder you engaged, how many have they completed in the past for SDA?
Couple. So not much. Two, I think. One or
did
two.
Did you physically go to see one?
I didn't personally, but my partner did.
Okay. Good. Again, for our listeners, it's always good to take your time. Absolutely. I mean, actually, what is your advice? So having gone through what you've been through with you and your business partner, your partner, you and him, have been through the process of vetting builders, looking at areas, looking at other rubbish out there, you've done your homework. What are the suggestions or advice that you would give to other listeners who are thinking about investing in the NDIS sector for property wise?
So a few things. Don't rush. Things take time. So don't rush. Do your research. Yeah, and don't go with someone that claims to be an SDA expert that isn't. So, you know, ask questions, you know, have you sold any NDISs before? You know, and then ask some questions about data. So say, you know, have you done your research in that area? How many participants? If they can't answer that question straight up and, you know, and if, you know, if they don't, if you hear a bit of stuttering, then I'd probably say just be careful.
Mate, I stutter all the time on my podcast. What are you saying?
except for you, Min.
But here's a question about our podcast series. Who would you like to hear more? If I could bring some more people back to repeat some more episodes in the future, who would you like to hear more of in the future episodes?
Debbie, for sure. Bring her back to do the SDA. Well,
she does it every month. Once a month, she does SDA Unlocked, yes, that's
for sure. So that one, I think, is key. Just to avoid people building, you know, not unnecessary, but properties that are not required in a particular area. So there's no point. And I think that's what's happening in certain areas in Melbourne, especially in the outer west and the outer north. People, because property prices are quite cheap. So people are just building thinking that, you know, they'll get participants in. You might struggle. So I'd probably say, yeah, those type of conversations that you have. Also, you know, I've asked you a few times about future proofing. So more topics around future proofing. Because things are changing all the time. Technology is changing. You know, participants are finding better ways to live with technology. I think more episodes around that really help. And around safety as well. Like, you know, I know you keep talking about fire sprinklers. And that's something that we're definitely going to have. Doesn't matter how much it's going to cost. It's something that you're going to have. Because, yeah, if you've got vulnerable people in the house that can't evacuate, then you need to invest in it. There's not, you know, why?
Well, here's the question to you now, my friend. Do you have fire sprinklers for your house?
For sure, 100%.
What was the additional cost to make it a Class 3 and fire sprinkler compared to not having it price-wise?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't got the figures. I don't know. That's my partner's the numbers guy. But all I said was, mate, find the money somewhere and let's make it happen.
did your business partner question you on that at all?
At the start, it was a bit, are you sure? And then I think I mentioned your podcast and I think you might have listened to a few of them. And then with your help.
Yes.
We've driven that message home.
Well, thanks to Angad Singh from Sedala Constructions in Perth. He's helped me out with a lot of podcast topics on fire sprinklers. So I'm glad. Did you hear today's podcast released today?
No, I haven't yet. That's the one.
It is a full episode on fire sprinklers.
Beautiful. I'll definitely
check it out. So the changes are coming. It's coming.
For sure. It makes sense. It makes sense. Mm. Yeah.
But that is probably the best fire future-proof topic you can have there. Mm. The fact that you have for your house, right, a fire sprinkler product is already future-proof against all the other houses in the area there, right there.
Correct.
I reckon, look, this is my guess, I reckon 95, if not 97% of all houses in NDIS SDA, brand new ones, in Victoria and Melbourne are not fire sprinkled.
Wow.
I reckon 99% are not. That's what I reckon.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I did a podcast with James Loveday, Empowered Livability. They have 55.
54. Yeah, I listened to that one. Yeah.
That's one provider, the biggest provider with the most, 100% all fire sprinklers. I can assure you many others around Melbourne do not.
Yeah, the ones that we saw, there was no fire sprinklers.
Yeah, yeah. Now, speaking of oversupply, you mentioned before, where do you think, because you're a Melbourne resident, you know, where do you think in your personal opinion, not professional opinion, your personal opinion are the oversupply areas around Melbourne?
Yeah, the outer west, I think, Werribee, Wyndham Vale. Maybe if I was to guess, I'd probably say Melton's creeping up as well. So, yeah, I'd probably say those areas.
Yeah, okay, fine there, or west. Where do you think the most in need areas need more SDA in Melbourne?
I'd say more established inner suburbs. So if you look at Banyule, so towards Heidelberg. So I grew up in Heidelberg. So around, you know, the Austin Hospital, Rosanna, yeah, the northeastern suburbs, I think there is a big demand there.
Mm. I reckon if anyone who's looking at investing in Melbourne, that follow the train lines,
yeah,
be near the hospitals, established suburbs and near hospitals.
Correct.
Because as you can appreciate, or actually you can use with your common sense here, if you're going out to the outer west where there's all new suburbs being created, it takes time for infrastructure to come
correct
out there.
That's exactly
train
right
lines, hospitals, medical facilities, it takes time for, you know, 4 or 5 years. So, so if you're building out there, that's a, you know, be aware that it'll be harder to fill up with participants because they're going to say, well, where's the train line? Where's the bus line? Where's the hospital? Oh, it's over there, 20 kilometers that way. Well, I should be living out that way.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
And the problem with investors, they seek the cheaper land priced areas to have a lower entry point for the purchase.
That's it.
And when you're doing that as an investor, everyone else is doing the same thing, which
right
means there'll be 10 other houses in the same street or area which are all vacant. So the one thing we've learned in Brisbane, Southeast Queensland, is in those cheaper suburbs or regions, that's where everyone's pouring in. And that's where you end up with one resident houses. Those 4-bed, 4-bath, 2-car HPS homes that you see everyone building, they all become one residence and one carer. And that doesn't make it viable, commercially viable for a provider to operate with only one participant. They operate on efficiencies. Efficiencies means 2 or 3 participants in that house and maybe 2 or 3 houses in the same suburb or same street to allow for their staff to run back and forth to provide care. So when you have outer suburb regions, like in Melbourne you mentioned, in West, and there's a plentiful supply of built houses, which are mostly vacant or partially filled up, it makes the job of running the SIL provider business that much more challenging to run efficiently and profitably as well.
Yeah.
So we're seeing and hearing more and more stories about providers closing up shop because they don't make enough money.
Wow.
So that comes back to participant numbers and also supply of accommodation as well. Anyway, look, we'll see more. I think we'll see more in July onwards, Abdi, of more investors coming back to the market once the SDA pricing review occurs in July. So that will bring the prices, the price income coming up higher for investors. But also, hopefully, in the first part of next year, 2024, interest rates going down a little bit, and that will bring investors back into it as well. Because right now, the high interest rates are causing a difficult time for investors to get their borrowings approved from the lenders as well. Yeah. Okay. Well, Abdi, it's been a lovely chat with you about your journey. Can I ask you for, apart from taking your time, what advice would you give, a final bit of advice that you would give to our listeners, something you've learned the hard way, or if you didn't dig a lot of people don't dig enough information. Let's be honest. A lot of people rush into NDIS without realizing the true process of how things work with SIL providers, SDA providers, builders, designers, SDSSs, and data demand, supply and demand. What bit of advice would you give to anyone listening who is still on the fence? And look, and we know that it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone, right? Who do you recommend? How do I say this? Two people on the fence, who would you say to this person to not invest and this one to invest? As in, when is it for people? When is it not for people? Is my question.
I think it's all. I think for me, it's all about intention as well. If your intention is solely just to, you know, try and make big bucks out of this industry, I think it's not for you. You got to understand this is not your home. This is other people's homes, and you got to think about them. You got to think about what they would like. So if you're thinking about trying to make a buck or two, I think check your intentions. I think intentions are first. Another tip would be cost blowouts. Like make sure you have, you know, make sure you've got reserve funds somewhere. Make sure you've got, you know, people that you can reach out to that can help you out, because things do blow out.
Did you have a cost blowout yourself?
Definitely. Yeah, things, yeah.
How much and what happened?
Oh, just, I think initially deposit-wise, I think we underestimated how much deposit you need. So that's, you got to be careful. You need quite a, you know, your deposit has to be substantial. You know, 10% won't cut it anymore. You know, you're looking at 20, I think for us, it was at least 25%. We had to drop.
We always said around 30% is your.
Well, 30%, yeah.
Is a safe number to have.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think it was around 30%. Initially, we thought it was about 25%, but we had to, you know, add more money to that. So, yeah, cost blowouts is a big thing. And I think also find a good SDA assessor. We worked closely with Bruce Bromley, who was a really good help, really good guy, easy to chat to, always available for us. So I think, yeah, find a good assessor that can really help you as well.
So this builder you engaged didn't have an assessor?
So our architect, we went through our architect, and our architect was talking to Bruce. But Bruce was happy to talk to us as well directly. So
good. Mate, if you could do me a favour, definitely ask him if I can interview him one day.
Interview?
Bruce Bromley.
Yeah, I can. My partner's more close to Bruce, but we can. I'll reach out to him and see what he thinks.
Good. Mate, thank you so much for your time, hey. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks to you, Min, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.